and allow him to share with you what he feels the Lord would have.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you guys for coming out this evening. I know this is not normal for y'all, but we're here gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm excited to be here with y'all. And I thank y'all for having me. I thank you for your hospitality, and I'm looking forward to this time. Before we get started, I want to pray, and then we're going to get into Luke chapter 9, and I'll give y'all some time to get there. So if you don't mind bowing your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. I thank you for this church, Lord, this body of believers. And God, I pray that they're edified tonight. And God, if there's any conviction that is needed, God, I pray that you convict them for where they fall short so that they serve you better, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're here to serve the kingdom. We're here on a business trip for you, Father. This isn't our home. So God, I pray that we don't live like it's our home. That we live as if we're passing through. And that we're trying to reach people and to bring them into the kingdom with us. But we know that you bring the growth. The person who plants, the person who waters, they're nothing without the person, the being, the beautiful Lord and Savior who brings the growth. So God, I pray you bring growth tonight through the hearing of the word, that you bring faith, that you build up these men and women. God, I pray that you be over me, that you guide my tongue in everything that I say. May I proclaim it with boldness and confidence in your holy and precious name for your honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll be in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26 is what we'll be going through tonight. That'll be the main text. My name is Austin. I come from Western Kentucky. I'll tell you a little bit about myself while you guys are trying to find your place there. I come from Western Kentucky. I was a pastor at an independent Baptist church for about 3 years. Before that, I was a youth pastor for 3 years. So I've been in ministry for about 6 years. But before that, I was traveling and preaching in many different states. Me and my brother would travel. I would preach, and my brother would do worship. That was before I had any position, anything offered to me. And I was thankful for the time that I had. We weren't reaching out to anybody. God was just opening doors, so we were traveling. I was still in high school, and so that allowed me the freedom to be able to travel, to go and preach to many different churches in many different states and many different places. And so I was thankful for those opportunities. By the time that summer ended, I ended up having 5 different offers, and I had to pray about them. I wasn't ready to take a pastoral position, so I ended up taking a youth pastor position. I didn't feel like I was equipped, I was ready to lead a congregation of people. But I knew that I had been equipped and ready to lead those younger than me. I've been serving the Lord for as long as I can remember. I love the Lord since I was 3 years old, and that's as far as I can remember back. I always love telling people about Jesus. He is my passion. He is my desire. And it's my desire to see the church edified, to be built up. It's also my desire to see those who don't know Him come to know Him.
Amen.
And I pray that that's y'all's desire as well. I have a wife and 1 kid. He just turned 1 year old. He is awesome. He gets into a lot. He's a daddy's boy. He likes clinging to me. But like the families I see here, I hope to have many, many more. This is a blessing to see this. I was just telling Dan that I don't see this in Western Kentucky. This isn't a normal thing to see these kids. This is a blessing. Don't take that for granted. I know sometimes they may get under your skin. Sometimes they get on your nerves. But they are a blessing and they build your character. Part of the reason we're here is for character growth. One pastor told me one time it didn't matter who he married. In the end, he got who he was supposed to have so that his character, his relationship with the Lord could grow. Because that's the most important thing.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. Because when we get to heaven, the people we're married to now, we're not going to be married to anymore. We're not going to have the same kind of relationship that we have like we do on this earth. So I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kid. They're back at home. I didn't want to make the journey with him, so she decided to stay home. But I thank y'all for having me. But that's enough about myself. I don't want to talk too much about myself, because we're here to talk about the Lord, His Word. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 26 through 26. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels." So what I want to talk about tonight is found in verse 26. Not just being ashamed of Jesus Christ, but being ashamed of his words. I want to focus on that tonight. But as it calls us, before that, we are to take up our cross, deny ourselves. Amen. Right? Follow after him daily. Daily. That's a daily call. It's a daily choice that you have to make. It's every moment. You have to choose if you're going to follow him or if you're going to walk your own path. So with that being the preface for what we're about to talk about, keep that in mind. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? What advantage is it to you if you gain the whole world, if you have all of the friends and family, if you earn favor in the sight of man, what does it profit you? Because in the end, you could lose your soul. So first, in talking about being ashamed of the words of Jesus, first point I have is being ashamed of the words of Christ is not wanting, desiring, being scared to talk about his word around certain people because you're scared of what they may think, you're fearful of what they may do to you. Let's take your career, for example. You may be scared that you could lose your job over speaking the words that Jesus Christ has told you to speak. You may be fearful that some of your family members will leave and that they will not have anything more to do with you because of the words that Jesus has told you to speak. You may be fearful of a relationship or a friendship and losing that. But which one is greater? The words of life or the things that pass away? Because the word of the Lord remaineth forever. The lilies in this world and everything in it's going to pass away one day, but the word, it remains forever. And another example of this, let's just use a specific example. Let's talk about homosexuality. Maybe you know somebody who's a homosexual who practices it. But you don't talk about it around them because you're scared of how they're going to react. You're scared of losing them as a friend or a family member. You're scared that it might cost you something. Jesus told us there's a cost that comes with following him. That's why we got to take up the cross. You know what the cross is a symbol of? A cost. It's a cost. And you have to pay a price too. You don't have to pay the price for your sins. Jesus did that. But you pay a price for following him. There's a cost. He said, "What man, before building a building, building architecture, doesn't sit down and count the cost first? Because that man who doesn't count the cost, he may get through building it in halfway and not be able to finish building that building. And he will be mocked and laughed at and ridiculed. We are called to continue in Christ, in the faith. We are called to finish the good fight, to finish the race.
Amen.
But we have to follow Jesus in everything. Not just some things, everything. Are you ashamed to say the words that Jesus has given? Romans chapter 1, 24-28 is, and that's just a reference, but it talks about how man gave his passion over from women to men, and women gave their passion over from men to women. They gave up the natural order, the design that God had made. I'm not saying you have to hate people who are in sin. We're not called to do that. We're called to love our enemies, right?
Right.
But part of loving somebody is calling out wickedness. Ephesians talks about that. We can't have unity with people who are unequally yoked. And so if we want to be unified with them, we have to get them to the same place that we are in the faith. We don't want them living in sin because we know what sin does. Sin brings forth death. That's what James says. It brings forth death. So maybe you're ashamed to say those things because you're afraid of losing somebody. But don't be. Don't be. The things that He's called you to say, say it. And the Great Commission, what are you told to preach? What are you told to teach in the Great Commission? You're told to go and make disciples. A disciple is a follower, right? A disciple is one who takes on the same yoke and burden that you are taking on. And they're learning from you. And He says, teach them to obey all that I have commanded. All that I have commanded. See, sometimes we just tell people about what Jesus did on the cross, but there's another part to the Great Commission. There's another part to it.
Amen.
And that's the part where people stop. How many times do we see throughout the Scripture in the life of Jesus where people heard a teaching of Jesus and then they went home because it was too hard? Is that you? Is there some kind of teaching that's so hard that you're like, I can't continue? This is where I draw the line in following Jesus. I hope it's not. And I pray it's not. But there's going to be those who say the same thing with you if you preach the words, teach the words that Jesus Christ has told you to. James 4:4. Friendship with the world is enmity with God.
Amen.
To be a friend of the world is to be enemies with God. Would you rather be an enemy of God, or would you rather be an enemy of this world? Whose side do you want to be on? That's the ultimatum. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that at the end. So first point is to be ashamed that the words of Christ is to not talk about the things, not preach, not teach the things that He's called you to. For worry or fear of losing something. Second point I got is being ashamed of the words of Christ is not believing them, not listening to them. He who has ears, let him hear.
Amen.
You can't even begin to tell somebody else to follow Christ if you're not willing to follow every word that He's taught, every word that He's given. How can you teach somebody else but you not walk it yourself? That's what the Pharisees did. They taught. Even Jesus said, do as they say, but not as they do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to John chapter 8 real quick, and I'm going to read verses 43 through 47. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. Let me read that again. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Yea, therefore, hear them not, because ye are not of God. If you are of God, you hear His words. You believe them and you follow them. You believe them. But they didn't believe. The Pharisees didn't believe because they were of their father, the devil. And he says of the devil, of Satan, that he abode not in the truth. Abode means to remain, to make a dwelling place. He didn't remain in the truth. Are you remaining in the truth tonight? Is that your home in the place of truth? Have you made that your dwelling place in the words of Christ? Just as the psalmist David said, I hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I meditate on your law, your precepts, day and night, your statutes. Oh, how great they are. And David was a man after God's own heart. You want to find the heart of God? Here you go. You want to know what He cares about? Here you go. But simply believing is not enough. James 2:19. Even the demons believe and tremble. Right?
Amen.
Even the demons believe and tremble. Faith apart from works is dead. It's not faith. So if you think you have faith but you do not have works, your faith is dead. And who thinks that that faith can save them? It can't. It can't save you. Because if you have faith, believing in the things unseen, having hope in the truth of God, you'll walk it out. You'll walk it out no matter the cost.
Right.
So, point one, being ashamed of the words of Christ is to not talk about, to not speak of it, to not teach, to not preach it. Second point is to being ashamed of the words of Christ is not believing or listening to them. Third point, being ashamed of Christ's word is not wanting to practice or to live in it in the sight of others to the fear of judgment. So God has given us commands to follow, right? To walk out. Some people may call you and say, hey, you want to go to this party? Hey, you want to go out and get drinks? You maybe have some work buddies. Maybe some friends. But you're not supposed to be a drunkard. The Bible, God's Word, is against that. But instead of listening to God's Word, you end up going out with them because you're scared of how they may perceive the practice that you have. I know probably a lot of you, when you were younger, dealt with this a whole lot more, the peer pressure. And I know when you're young, you have a lot of peer pressure, especially when you're in public schools. And I don't know how the public schools around here, but back at home, they're really bad. They're not great at all. There's all kinds of filth. But there's pressure to go to parties, there's pressure to have sex, there's pressure to do all of these things outside of the will of God. But some people are so scared how others may perceive them. Oh, he's a virgin. Oh, she's a virgin. Oh, holier than thou. And I got called all types of things when I was younger growing up. All types of things. I waited until I got my wife now. Whom was at 23 we got married? Or 24. So I've been with her for about 2 years. I waited. Didn't drink alcohol, abstained from it. And this is not to build up myself. This is to say I know what it's like to practice the Word of God and get ridiculed for it. I know what it's like to practice the Word of God and have people revile you. I know what it's like to lose friends because you won't go out and drink with them. I know what it's like to lose family members because, oh, you believe that. You practice this. You abstain from this. Maybe, let's just go with something simpler. The command to share the gospel. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't share the gospel. You're scared of what people might think. So you don't practice sharing the gospel. The wise man builds his house on the words of Christ. That house is like a house that's built on a rock. All other houses are built on sand. And when the storm comes in, the houses that are built on the words of Christ will stand. They will not be destroyed. The house that's built on the rock. Matthew 7:24 talks about this. He says, this wise person is like one who listens and heeds and practices the instruction of my words. He is likened unto the man who built his house on the rock. So are you building your house on a firm foundation, the truth of God's word? Are you building it on sand? What are you building it on? Fourth point. Being ashamed of Christ's words is also to be ashamed of Him, as the Scriptures testify of Him. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right?
Amen.
We also see, when He's with the Pharisees, He says, you seek the Scriptures to find eternal life, but you can't find eternal life, because those Scriptures testify of Me. They testify of Me. The Scripture, from beginning to end, testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus.
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
Those two work hand in hand, the Spirit and truth. And that's what He told the woman at the well one day. One day, people will worship in Spirit and in truth. Sometimes people lean too heavy on the truth. They just get in the Word, but they don't pray and seek God for wisdom. They don't allow the Spirit to speak to them. And then there's others who believe that they're trusting the Spirit, but completely abandon the Scriptures. Completely abandon the truth. We don't want to be either of those people. Because we, in our own minds, in our own flesh, are incapable of coming to the understanding of God's Word. Because His thoughts are higher, His ways are higher.
That's right.
Who in here believes that he can understand the mind of God? None of us can. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you a helper, a comforter, who is going to teach you and who's going to call into remembrance everything that you've already been taught. Sometimes we're so reliant upon the knowledge that we have been given already that we begin to trust in that instead of also trusting in the Lord and the Spirit that He's given. And so we don't grow anymore. We stop. We come to a stalling point in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord. Being ashamed of the Word is to be ashamed of Him. Do you want to be ashamed of Him? The commands speak of Him as well. Because they speak of His character. They speak of His righteousness. They speak of His holiness. Because you know He fulfilled every one of those commands. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Right?
Amen.
I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. And He did so. He was perfect. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. That doesn't just mean because I believe I receive righteousness. No, that means I start walking in that righteousness, that holiness now. Practicing it now. I don't wait until I receive the new body in heaven. I don't wait. I walk as He walked. I walk by the Spirit. Because the one who sows to the Spirit and walks by the Spirit reaps eternal life. But the one who sows to the flesh reaps corruption.
Right.
Which one are you sowing to? Because that is what you're going to reap from. One of the things that I really, really love talking about, my favorite thing to talk about, is abiding in Christ. Remaining in Him, as it says in John 15. It's my favorite thing. Because it reminds me that everything hinges upon Christ. Without Him, I can't do anything. I can't do anything without Him. I will not bear any fruit. And the tree that doesn't bear any fruit, it says that He will cut off. And it will be thrown into the fire. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit as a result of heeding the words of Christ? Walking by Spirit. Abiding in Christ is in part abiding in the Word. Abiding in the Word. 2 John chapter 9 through 11. 2 John chapter 9 through 11. It talks about abiding in the teaching of Christ. Anyone who goes on from the teaching of Christ, and I know 2 John's not a passage that normally is used. It's not often read. But those who do not abide in the teaching of Christ, who remain in the teaching of Christ and go on ahead, it says that they do not know God. They knoweth Him not. You have to abide and remain in the teaching of Christ. And it talks about those who also teach things that are contrary to the teachings of Christ. It says, if you even greet such a one, that you will take part in their wicked works. Even if you greet such a person who's teaching these false doctrines, who's teaching these heresies, if you greet them, you will be held accountable for it.
Right.
You will be held accountable for it. I teach at the prison, and I have a man, and you could pray about this for me and for this man. But he came to me, and I talk about these things with these men quite often, but he came to me this past Monday night and he said, I just have a hard time with that. Because I feel like I'm giving up on these people when I turn them away, or when I'm not having any part with them. And I want you to know right now that you're not giving up on them. The aim of our charge and everything that we do is love. If you're doing it out of malice and you're saying, I don't want anything to do with you, you're wicked and you're being hateful about it, that's not going to produce any kind of fruit for their life. They're not going to look at your life and say, and the teachings that you bring, and say, oh, that's Jesus. No, if you're loving and you correct them, but they do not listen, and you turn away from them, Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy. I hand them over to Satan so they may learn not to blaspheme God. The purpose of handing them over to not associate with them anymore is to put it in God's hands. It's to have faith. Because we don't bring the growth, do we? I cannot change anybody's heart in here. I cannot change your spirit. I can't change anything, but God can. And He can change their hearts. So when you're not associating with them anymore, you're saying, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine anymore. I'm not going to continue here with these people. I've bore with them for so long. Even Jesus, He said, how long do I have to bear with you people? You wicked generation who looks for signs and wonders. He said things like that. That's not easy to hear. But Jesus didn't stick around to try to get people to understand it. He said what He had to say and He went on. And if they followed Him, they followed Him. If they didn't, they didn't. That's the way it is. So one of the things I want to... Abiding in Christ, another thing I want to add to this. Abiding in Christ is in part abiding in the Word. But it's also abiding in the Spirit. We're called in several places in Scripture to pray always in the Spirit. Always in the Spirit. Pray without ceasing, right? 1 Thessalonians.
Amen.
We are called to pray always in the Spirit, making supplication for the saints. But we know that understanding, again, comes from the Spirit. That's why we need to always pray in the Spirit. So that we can have understanding. So that we can walk out the commands that He's given. 1 John 2:27 says, you have no need that any man should teach you, but the anointing of Jesus Christ teaches you. That's the Holy Spirit teaches you. And we saw in John 14:26, I'm sending you the Helper to teach you, to call into remembrance all things.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we need God's Word and the Spirit. We need them both. When Peter was asked by Jesus, he says, I know who they say I am, but who do you say I am? You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And Jesus marveled at it because He said, this was not shown to you, revealed to you through flesh and blood. But what was it revealed by? The Spirit of God, right? The understanding that He was the Messiah was revealed through the Spirit of God. Not through just seeking out in the Scriptures, but through the power of God's Spirit. We need both. So do not neglect both. The words of Christ are essential to whether we, others, remain and or are destroyed. His words are essential to eternal life. So are you speaking it? Are you walking it? Are you living it? Or are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of His words? Do you practice it? Do you love Him?
Amen.
You'll keep His commands. And I can't imagine having that said to me. Especially in this day and age. If I went up and said that to somebody, they'd probably about flip a lid. If you love me, do as I say. Okay, that's it. Do as I say. We have a hard time with that. Submission. Submission. But submission is freedom. See, sin, it gives the appearance of freedom. It gives the appearance of freedom. But submission to Christ and His Word brings true freedom. It really does. It's the most freeing thing. It's so freeing. Whoever has the truth, confesses the truth, knows the truth, is free indeed, right? Free indeed. So I'm going to go over those points again. One, being ashamed of the words of Christ is not talking about His Word, speaking it, teaching it, preaching it. Two, being ashamed of the words of Christ is not believing or listening to those words. Being ashamed of the Christ, of Christ's Word, third thing, is not wanting to practice or live in it in sight of others for the fear of judgment. Four, being ashamed of Christ's words is also to be ashamed of Him as the Scriptures testify of Him. Those are the four points I had tonight. I'm going to give you three concluding things. Do not fear men, but God. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear man who can only destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both soul and body.
Amen.
Luke 1:50, Mary says mercy is for those who fear the Lord. When she's praising the Lord because she's going to get to carry the Messiah. That's one of the things she says in Luke 1:50. Mercy is for those who fear the Lord. Philippians 2:12, what are we called to do? Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Do not fear men, but God. One of the things that the disciples, the apostles did, if you look and read through the book of Acts, not just once, but many times, even after the day of Pentecost, they asked that the believers would pray for confidence and boldness to preach and proclaim the gospel. You're not always going to be bold. You're not always going to be confident. It's a hard thing to do to preach these words. Because it's going to cost you. But pray and seek the Spirit and have others to do the same on your behalf. Constantly making supplication for the saints, so that we may have boldness and confidence to preach the gospel of Jesus and every word that He's given to each and every creature, to each and every man and woman. Pray for it. So do not fear men but God. Do not please men. Do not seek to please men, but seek to please God. Galatians 1:10, He says, if I am to serve and please men, to do this as a people pleaser, then I would not be a servant of Christ. If that's my goal, if that's what I'm doing, I would not be a servant of Christ. So examine yourselves. Like David, test me. My thoughts, know them. Search my heart, O Lord. If there's any grievous way in me, any wicked way, God, show it. Cleanse it. Because you're not a servant of Christ if you're pleasing men. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what does faith come by? Hearing by the Word of God, right?
Amen.
Hearing by the Word of God. So if you're listening, believing the words of Christ, you will have faith imparted to you. But you have to act on that faith. You have to act on that faith. So David was a man after God's own heart, correct? That's because he sought to please the Lord by getting in the Word, the law, meditating on it, and walking it out. He desired to do all as the Lord had commanded. He didn't perfectly walk that out, did he? But he desired to, and he tried to follow the Lord in everything. You're not going to be perfect in it. And as it says in 1 John, we have an advocate with the Father for anyone who does sin. Right? So don't be scared of falling short. Don't seek to fall short. Don't expect to fall short. But when you do, confess it. Give it to the Lord. And get back up. Because the righteous man, he falls 7 times and he gets back up each time. But the wicked man stays down on his face. Are you going to stay down when you get knocked down? Are you going to get up? So do not fear men but God. Do not seek to please men, but seek to please God. Again, if they listen to you, then they're listening to Him. If you're persecuted, it's because they're persecuting Him. That's what He said, Luke 10:16. If they reject you, they're rejecting Him. Me and Christ, we're a package deal. Me and His words, we're a package deal. Because His words testify of Him. We're a package deal. We're inseparable. So if you don't like what I have to say, that means you don't like what He has to say. And that means you're rejecting Him. Therefore, you're rejecting me. You're rejecting me also. Because it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. He lives through me. I can't take credit for this. And nor do I desire to. So do not fear men but God. Do not seek to please men but God. And don't worry about if they listen to you or if they don't. That's their choice. But realize in the end, it's ultimately not you that they're rejecting if they reject you. It's Christ. I'm going to close in prayer, and I ask you to do this. If any of this spoke to you, if any of this convicted you, if any of this you said, wow, I really need work on this. I really just have a hard time with some of these things, even believing them. He will give you the faith to believe. All you have to do is ask. To each and every person who had a hard time believing, when He came to them, when they came to Him, He said, do you believe? No, but I do believe, but I have a hard time with it a little bit. Help my unbelief. Right? So ask Him to help your unbelief. If there's some things, these words that He's spoken to your heart that you have a hard time believing, ask Him to help your unbelief. Ask Him to give you faith. To believe the truth of His Word, even if it's hard. Say, God, give me the strength and the boldness and the confidence to walk it out, to practice it, despite the cost.
That's right.
Say, God, if I'm trying to please men, show me. I don't want to be a people pleaser. I don't desire to please men. I desire to please You. Show that to me in the areas of my life. And if you think that you are perfect in all of this, well, then that means you don't really have a need for Jesus anymore. So you might as well just walk out the door. But if you find out that, yeah, I still need some work in these areas, well, Jesus came for people like you. People who didn't have it together. People who want to get it together. Who are trying to serve Him. Who are trying to chase perfection. Striving after that goal. As Paul said in Philippians. I strive to make it my own. I don't live as if I've already obtained it. Strive after holiness. Because without holiness, no man shall see the face of the Lord. Strive to seek Him. Strive to please Him. But realize that He's going to give you the power and equip you with everything that you need to accomplish everything that He's called you to do. It's not in your own power. It's not in your own power. Bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray tonight that we take up our cross, that we deny our flesh, and we follow You daily. God, there is nothing that this world offers that will profit us anything. Nothing in this world that will save our souls except for the name that is above every other name, and that is Your name. And so, God, I pray that we remain in You until the end. And I know that You, who has begun a good work in these people and me, is powerful enough to see us through to the end. Who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. To give us the strength and power that we need to walk out the commands that You've given. God, I thank You. I thank You for Your word of life that remains forever. God, I thank You for Your Spirit. And God, I thank You. I thank You that we can admit our wrongs. We can admit where we fall short. And You won't reject us. You won't push us away. Because You desire reconciliation. You desire that all men everywhere repent. You command it. That's why You haven't came back yet, is because You're not slow in keeping Your promise, but You desire, You wish for every man, every woman to come into repentance. So God, I pray that we're faithful witnesses of Your words, faithful witnesses of You, because Your words testify of You. So that others may come to know You, that we abide in Your teaching, remain in Your words, so that our house will remain firm, that it won't be destroyed when the storm comes. God, may we continually hide Your word in our heart, in our minds, that we meditate on it day and night, and that we continually pray by Your Spirit. And I thank You for all these men and women here tonight, and I thank You for them allowing me to come here and to speak what You have laid on my heart. And so, God, I just pray that they carry it with them tonight, tomorrow. They chew on it. They think about it. They don't just leave here and let the word just go away. Let it continue to speak to their hearts, Lord. And may they apply it to their lives so that You may be glorified through them. So that it can truly be said of them that it's no longer them who lives, but You who lives within them. Thank You for this congregation. May they be blessed, Lord Jesus, in Your mighty name. And may You be glorified in all things. Amen.